Hello, hello, my friends. I don't know what time it is where you are, but it's 3 o'clock on a beautiful spring afternoon here in Ohio. I'm happy to be here with you. I come to Satsang to speak about self-inquiry, to talk about self-inquiry with you. And I do so because this continuing self-inquiry that really is my life continues to reveal to me the magnificence and the beauty and the wonder of existence in ways that I never could have imagined. It's not once and for all, like there was a moment when I woke up and then everything was revealed to me. It is that self-inquiry itself continuously expands the vision, expands the realization. Well, it really doesn't do any such thing. But what it does do is eliminate in you the false belief that you are your life. And in the absence of that false belief, well, everything's open. Everything is available and accessible. So I come to Satsang to talk about self-inquiry. And the other reason that I come to Satsang to talk about self-inquiry is because talking about self-inquiry is self-inquiry. It is self-inquiry to talk about it, to think about it, to wonder about it, to worry about it, to doubt it, to become obsessed with this question of what am I, really. Thinking about self-inquiry is a good thing. Talking about self-inquiry is a good thing. Having every waking moment given over to the not to wanting truth, because in truth we all already want truth. It's all we want, really. So it's not given over to wanting truth, or even to finding truth, because all of us already always know the truth of what we are. There's never a moment when we're missing from ourselves. There's never a moment when we don't see ourselves. So not a life given over to any of that. But a life given over to self-inquiry, which it already is. That's what we do with our lives, you know. We spend all of our lives inquiring as to what our nature is, what we are, really. Who am I? All of our efforts to become something, all of our efforts to reform ourselves, all of our efforts to fix ourselves, to be righteous, to be rich, to be compassionate. All the things that we do are efforts to know what we are. So I come to Satsang to talk about self-inquiry. I talk about self-inquiry here in my day-to-day life. I think about self-inquiry all the time. I reflect on self-inquiry all the time. I am never, ever satisfied, and I am never dissatisfied with this deliciousness of looking to see what I am. I guess what I'm trying to get across here is that self-inquiry is not a means to an end. Self-inquiry is not something we do in order to get free, or to realize our inherent freedom, or to be finished with the search, or to love better or to live more freely or any of those things. Self-inquiry is our life, our breath. What gives us life? What gives us breath? Our purpose in embodiment. Not a means to an end. I have been asked a couple of times recently, in disconnected circumstances, if I could not offer some technique, some structured technique that could be used to help people perform the practice of self-inquiry. And I actually would love to do so. I have nothing against structured techniques. I have nothing against anything, really. And I really would love to do so, but the fact of the matter is that you certainly will develop a structured technique, but you have to do that yourself. The only technique that I can offer anybody in this game of self-inquiry, in this joy of looking for what's real, the only technique I can really offer anybody is to want the truth above all, to know you want the truth above all, to obsess about this question, what am I, to make it the most important thing in your life, the most critical, the most alive thing in your life, to be determined with every breath to know the truth of what you are, whatever that is. And if you can acknowledge that determination, and if you can see that that's what you really want, then I promise you that whatever techniques are necessary for you to make your way home, you will develop on your own. I did techniques, but they're no use to you. I did things that I made up, meditations and mantras and all kinds of things that I made up, but they're of no use to you. Final underlying truth about self-inquiry is that you have to do it for yourself. You have to do it for yourself. It's quite likely, I know that in my case, had it not been that this possibility that the problem, the only problem in my life, was the false, and that the solution was to know what I am, and that it was absolutely possible and feasible for me to do so, and that would have never occurred to me. So maybe we do need that. We do need someone to tell us about self-inquiry and about the false and about the true. But once we see that, we have to do it for ourselves. You have to find out directly for yourself what you are. And it's not hard. It really isn't. You're here. You're always here. You can't deny that. You know that. You know that. And that knowing that you're here is you. The satsang is helpful because, at least in these satsangs, we come together to talk about self-inquiry, which is, I have pointed out, is self-inquiry, talking about it, thinking about it, obsessing about it. So you do the practice. You look for yourself. You look for that which is permanent, because that's you. There's nothing permanent anywhere to be found other than you. So you look for that which is permanent. You turn your mind's eye away from that which is impermanent, which is everything else. And you look for yourself. You are determined to have the taste, the feel, the certainty of the knowing of what you are. In this moment, right now, you look for yourself. You figure it out. You use the native natural intelligence that is your great asset, and you figure it out how to do it, how to get that taste, how to get that direct experience of the reality that you are. And then you do it again and again and again. Every chance you get, every opportunity that offers you, you look again to see, what am I? What am I? Really, what am I? Am I new? Am I changed? Am I different? And you think about it. Then you talk about it with those who are willing to talk about it. And you obsess about it. What am I? Don't I already know? What is this all about anyway? What can they be talking about? And the promise is that if you will do this, you see, it's not the technique whereby you do it, and it's not the quality or nature of the experiences that come to you as an outcome of doing this. It is just the doing of it, the actual momentary conscious realizations of the reality of you. It's those things that do the actual work. And over time, as you do this, the promise is that this false belief that you are your life, which is the source and the wellspring of all misery and hatred and suffering whatsoever, this false belief that you are your life will erode and vanish finally before you even know it. And before you even know it, you will see that life is, well, sweet and beautiful. And contrary to the spiritual expectations about these things, to be free of the idea that you are your life does not in any way distance you from your life or the events in your life. In fact, quite the contrary. In some way, as a result of being finished with the idea that you are at stake in your life, it turns out that it's easy and sweet and totally possible to just relax fully into your life. Fully into your life. No separation. And that's what you're here for, to see yourself, to see this play, to see this, well, to see the unreal, really. What you're not here for is to suffer and be miserable and be determined to declare war on yourself, to fix yourself, to get rid of your badness, to hold on to your goodness, to get rid of what feels bad, to hold on to what feels good. All of these movements and all of these things arise from this conviction that you are your life. And all of these movements and all of these things disappear with that conviction. So that's pretty much all I ever talk about in satsang, is self-inquiry. Sometimes I talk about it one way, sometimes I talk about it another way, but I don't have much else that interests me, really, except self-inquiry, except this amazing, breathtaking possibility that I, we, you, can see the truth in this life, together as one. Okay, if anybody else wants to talk with me about self-inquiry, let us know, or if you have any questions, or if you have any disputes or disagreements or stories or anything you think might interest us, let us know, and we can talk. And if you don't know how to say you want to talk to us, you go to the menu up at the top, which is called Self, and you click on Request Voice. And you don't have to, but I just want to make sure you know how.
Peter from Poland will speak next. Peter?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well. You're actually very loud, but I can hear you quite well. Hello, Peter.
Yes, hello. I'm sorry. Is that okay right now?
It's okay. Yes, it is okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask you if there is really a difference between like asking yourself actually who am I and just concentrating on the sense of I am.
The whole purpose of asking yourself who am I is to get you to the self of, to the sense of being, which is sometimes called I am. So, yes, by all means, just rest there and you're fine.
Yes, because when you ask who am I, it is like dividing yourself in two, like one is asking who is the other. And
yes, but isn't that also true when you are experiencing the sense of I am?
Oh, yes.
You see? So the point of that, of course, is that in all cases, if you are experiencing something, it must be something that's not you.
So how can I self-inquiry do it? You know, I cannot see it, I cannot hear it, I cannot smell it.
But you know it. See, it's the knowing. It's the knowing. You're here, right? You know that you're here.
Yes.
There's no sensation attached to that, though, other than the certainty that you're here.
Yes, there is this certainty, but it seems like at the same time the mind wants to something.
That's right, and the mind will wander away from that, but that's okay. The magnificence of the method of self-inquiry is that just those momentary tastes of reality, that momentary recognition of that certainty of being that's here, that does the work. That itself, over time, erases the false idea that you are this life. You can't become the truth. You are the truth. All you can do is get rid of this false idea. And you do that by looking at the truth. And the truth is this absolute certainty that you are here. Do you follow that?
Yeah, there is a certainty, but I don't know. I had in the past some, you know, like great experience. I know, like, this is just an experience, but then I knew that I am. And now it is so, it is not there, like, it is, I am here, but
but you see, that's the point, right? Here's the thing. If something was not here, and now it is here, you can be certain that it'll be gone. If there is anything that you're looking at, and they could be the most magnificent experiences of being, of Satchitananda, but still, they are experiences that were not here, and now are here, and then will be gone. It is the same with the experience of knowing I am. You had it, you didn't have it, but no matter what happens to those passing experiences, no matter what becomes of them, no matter how unreliable they are, you remain. So The point is that if you think that reality is the experience of oneness, then you're wrong. Reality is what's here now. Reality is you, the certainty of you. And the gift of self-inquiry is to suggest to us that we don't have to understand it. We don't have to know what we're doing even. All we have to do is taste that certainty, even if we think that's not, I mean, that's just that. Just to taste it often enough, to think about it often enough, and everything else will be taken care of. The experiences of Satchitananda and the experiences of the bliss of being and the experiences of the certainty of I am, these things come and go, along with the experiences of confusion and torment and so forth. They all come and go. What you're looking for is what doesn't come and go, which is you. You. You're the only thing that doesn't come and go. And that's the truth. And that's the target.
So, but is it just like a matter of conviction that this is it and I don't have to do some practice or understand anything?
What I'm telling you, and this is really hard to hear, but what I'm telling you is that you don't even need conviction. All you need to do is move in the direction of tasting the reality of what you are, and all of these questions will be answered. All of this confusion will be cleared up. It'll become obvious to you what is real and what is unreal. You follow me?
Yes, I seem to follow it. I know it, like, in memory, in mind. I have heard it so many times. I read the books, but it seems that I'm still looking for some experience to confirm that this is it. There's nothing more.
Of course you are, and that's okay too. But just see, whenever you catch yourself wanting some experience that will confirm what is, well, it's like self-confirming. When you see that happening, look and see that that you are the one who sees that happening. You are not the one that's doing that. You're the one that sees that happening. What are you? I mean, yes, those ideas and those experiences and those perversions do happen and will happen. But what are you? You have to do it. Reading about it and understanding it doesn't do it. You have to do it. It's very pragmatic. It has no special points for understanding. You hear that?
Yes, yes, yes. But is it just like I can inquire into what I am not?
There's no end to what you're not, Peter. There's no end to that at all. You are whatever the next thing is that you can dream up to manifest in your mind. There's no, so far as I can see, there's no benefit in that. The benefit is in seeing what's already here, which is what you are. And it's quite understandable and quite justifiable even to be looking for something in the life that confirms the fact that you are not the life. But it just doesn't work. You got to do it. You got to look for yourself, not for what you're not. You can't get rid of the false belief by examining the thing that you falsely believe yourself to be. You can get rid of the false belief by examining the truth of what you are. You see that?
Yes, yes. So I will just try to do it?
Yes, just try. Try with all your heart to do it. That's exactly what I'm saying.
But without any technique, so I'm just, like, the mind is helpless right now, right here.
Right. Right. But you can figure out techniques. You know what you're after. You know you're after the very center of the reality of you. And you know that you're here. You can figure out techniques. You can figure out things that you can do to remind yourself to look here. What's here? What am I? You can devise techniques whereby you can set time aside for doing self-inquiry, where you use meditation practices that are designed to calm the mind and to slow things down so that you can deliberately and with great intentionality try to find the subject, try to find what it is to see, what it is to be seen. But you can figure all that out on your own. And the truth is you don't need any of that. All you have to do is look and see what you are. Try. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, let me know over time.
Okay, I will.
Okay?
And thank you for this opportunity for me to speak to you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'd like to know what happens with you, Peter.
Thank you.
We have Randy and Janice calling from Canada. Randy and Janice, are you there? You can speak now.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Hello. Randy. Are you Randy?
Hi. Yes, I am. We have one microphone and we're sharing a headset.
That's okay.
So we can both hear you, but only one of us can talk.
Okay, so you are Randy and Janice, just as it says here.
Yes.
Okay. What can I do for you?
Well, lately I've just been noticing that everything I can sense with the senses has been in my face basically my whole life, and this is what's believed to be reality. And it seems to be so automatic that I start pulling out the bat when I think that I'm somehow removed from who I am, or I haven't got it, or I haven't found it, I haven't found the answer, this sort of thing.
Pull out the bat
is to hit myself mentally, saying that you're not getting it.
Well, you know, there's no way, you know, you say that you are, when the senses, the object of the senses, the unreal phenomena assail you, that this is what happens. And they seem so convincing and so penetrating. It may be that you are mistakenly thinking that you have to, that you in your life have to understand that the things that come and go are unreal, and that understanding is what you're after. Is that any truth to that?
Yes. Yeah, the understanding of what's real, as opposed to all my life I've been believing apparently what's unreal, which is everything seen by the senses.
But you see, You don't have to see what's real as opposed to the unreal. The unreal will take care of itself. The only thing you can do is look for what's real, which is you. That's all. And it is to be expected that probably until the day you die, you will be uh, you will retain in your life the sense that the world is real, and thoughts are real, and people are real, and relationships are real, and all of that. That sense that things are real is not the problem. The problem is the belief that all of this is you. You know, who can say what's real and unreal? What I know is that you're real, that you're here all the time, that you never change, you've never moved, you haven't appeared and disappeared, you're always here. And that's where your attention belongs. Not on understanding the unreal, but on tasting the real. And that takes care of all the rest of it. You follow me?
Yes, I do follow you.
Okay. Okay?
Yep, that's great. Thank you very much.
Okay,
it.
Please, you guys stay in touch with me. I like to hear from people. Okay?
Thank you, John. Thank you very much, John.
Okay, thank you, Randy and Janice. Bye.
We have Maurizio now. Is Maurizio from Rome?
Hello.
Maurizio? Hi, Maurizio.
Yes.
Hello, Maurizio.
Hello, John.
I can hear you, but you're going to have to do something about your speakers.
Okay. Is this better?
Yes. Can you hear me still?
Can you hear me better?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I do. Place, wherever. I will try to speak like that. Is that fine?
Yes, that's fine. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay, my question deals with something you probably heard a million times and with million questions already to you, but it's very important for me this time because I had lots of physical pains, and you know, strange enough, I am also dealing with that in my daily life because I am a doctor in to make a living. So for me, there is an kind of instantaneous reaction with pain. You know, it's a very heavy conditioning, it seems, to fix it, you know. And this brings me completely away from the questioning, what am I?
The pain does, or the remedy?
No, the pain does.
Oh, you should fix the pain. If you can fix the pain, fix it.
Yeah.
There's no merit in enduring pain, especially that prevents you from looking at what's real.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let me know.
Sure. No, it's okay now, but I had a few weeks there were pretty difficult. There's nothing really specific coming out, you know, so I basically, even if I didn't find a solution for the physical pain, there were also no evidences for anything, apparently, you know, so.
You mean any underlying disease?
No.
Evidences for anything with what then?
Say it again, I missed this last.
You said there were no evidences.
No.
What evidences?
No
what,
evidence.
On what?
Yeah.
What?
No diseases, nothing really specific, apparently.
Oh, right, that's what I said. No evidence of disease.
Yeah.
Right. Well, do not endure pain if you can avoid doing so. There's no point to it.
Yeah.
So what else can I do for you?
That's quite clear, yeah.
I'm very happy to hear from you, Mauricio. I hope we can figure this out. I hope we can figure this out. This microphone business.
Yeah. Thank you, by the way, John. Thanks a lot, huh?
You're very welcome.
We have Nigel now calling from Madrid. Nigel?
Hi, Nigel. Well, looks like we might have more technical problems in Madrid also. You know, this medium is really quite magnificent. The possibility of meeting like this, I'm looking at the list of people from Germany, South Carolina, Bangalore, India, Champagne, France, all over the world. And this medium and this method is really quite magnificent. And unfortunately, we obviously have to put up with these little technical glitches from time to time. As time goes on, we hope to stabilize this medium even more than it is now. But still, evidently, Nigel can't speak, so I just got a text message from Santaraj, and in which he said, well, I'm going to tell you what he says. He says, this is wonderful, John. I always thought that pain is to be seen as a way from what you really are. And I used to wonder how one can neglect pain. And I used to think that it is only possible for people like Ramana who have realized their true self. It is great now to know that one can really take care of the pain and then feel free to go ahead and inquire or do the self-inquiry. This is, I'm really happy to hear that you heard that, Santaraj, because it's really true. There's a, in this country even more, so because we have such a history in this country of mortification of the body. I'm sure that's true in most religious contexts, but I'm familiar with it here, this business of mortification of the body, where the body is not to be taken care of and not to be attended to, but rather a problem that needs to be either transcended or transformed or done away with. And the truth is so simple, it's so easy to see, the truth that that the problem is not the body. The problem is not pain. The problem is not bad desires or good desires, bad thoughts or good default thoughts. The problem is false belief about what we are. And when pain assails us and even interferes with our ability to do the inquiry, to investigate for truth, then pain, well, it needs to be taken care of. There's no need to suffer pain, but there's no need to suffer. Okay? And okay, Nigel wants to try again. Please, Nigel, try again. Nigel, are you there? I guess Nigel, still. Nigel, you could send me a text message and I could read it and respond to it. Janice? Janice?
Oh, hello, John. This is Janice from Canada.
Hi, Janice.
Can you, hi, John. It's a pleasure to finally speak to you. I used to be online quite a bit on River Ganga with the satsang.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember. I used to answer quite a few of the ongoing questions.
Yes, I do remember. I don't remember
I
the specifics, but I remember you. Yes, hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I hardly know what to say to the same one that is one. Maybe something that may help others I could impart here. My dad has had Parkinson's for about 10 years, the body, mm-hmm. mind. Mm-hmm. And I have watched how his mind, particularly his mind, has changed over the last while. I have watched him go from, you know, the everyday human being to seeing things out the window that aren't there from dementia. And recently he took a fall, and since that fall, it's confused the mind so much that he has, he's now in a nursing home, and I'm pretty sure that the body, mind will check out this year. But what's interesting is, since the confirmation from Gangaji of awakening, it's so easy to see that even someone in all his various states, you can see directly in him in what has not moved. And I must say that this has had a very profound effect on Randy. And it's very raw for him to see that the flesh and the mind changes so much and doesn't last. And my dad, go ahead.
Of course, you don't have to look to see that in extreme cases and others. You can see in your own life the impermanence of the body and the mind and how it changes and how fickle and unreliable it is.
Yes, okay. the changes even in my own human form and mind are constantly changing, but it's such a gift because in that, what's lined up directly with it is what hasn't moved. And sometimes it takes a lot of change to see what doesn't change, but it makes itself very clear somehow, and I don't know how. It just is. It's an isness.
I can tell you for certain that when you or anyone else, I don't mean you personally or specifically, but when you or anyone else sets out to find the truth will find you.
Oh,
I know,
yes.
That with certainty.
Yes. I found that in my own life. It was when I finally completely gave up everything, that was the moment when who I truly am just walked right in and just completely washed out everything I thought I was. And I'm so happy it's gone. I mean, if it comes back, okay, but it's been 5 years and I'm still who I am and have been for centuries. And it's so funny. It's so funny, and yet it's so serious and so precious. You find that, right, John?
I find out what?
That it's, at the same time, being who you are is so serious and so precious, but at the same time, profoundly funny, because you've always been who you are.
It's very funny. It is very funny. The whole thing is a joke.
It is.
Go ahead. I don't find much use in speaking about how things are, about how, the whole business about how wonderful things feel once you're done with the false belief about what you are. I don't find much use in that. My experience is that the more we speak about how it feels, the more we encourage the seeking after those feelings. The truth is, it doesn't feel like anything. It feels like you.
That's right.
It's just you, the same as you've always been. And the reactions and the responses that that might occur come and go within the individual mind stream are really beside the point. The point is to be done with the idea that you're your life. And the only way to do that, in my endless experience, is to look at yourself. Just that. Whether looking at yourself is joyful or not joyful, just to look at yourself, to see what's real, to see what doesn't change, to see what has never ever been touched, what's never been absent, what never moves. And it's the seeing of that that puts an end to the ideas that I am at stake in my life, and there are things about my life that I wish were different than they are. It's the seeing of the truth that puts an end to all of that. And the opportunities for irony and gleeful joking are immense and endless, but first see what you are, everybody. First see the truth, and then see whether these things, the outcomes of that. You follow me?
Yes. Perfectly. It's just transient. Yeah.
That's right. It's all transient. The only thing that isn't transient is you.
That's right.
Just you.
Right.
Everything else comes and goes. So and I'll tell you, let me just say one more thing about this. The eradication of the belief that you are your life makes all of the literature that has been uttered about spiritual awakening and reality and all of that, it shows it for what it is. It's impossible to understand what is being spoken about in spiritual utterance so long as you believe yourself to be your life. It's impossible to understand. And the only way to be rid of that belief is to look at yourself. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm happy to speak to you, Janice.
It's wonderful to speak to you voice to voice, one to one.
Yeah.
I wish there was some magic formula to let's say give this what's always here, give it away, but you can't even give it away.
No, but what you can do is you can tell people to look to see what they are. That's all you can do. And you can do that, and that's actually self-inquiry.
Yeah.
Talking about self-inquiry is self-inquiry. Your life is self-inquiry. And you can't tell people to look at themselves.
Right. I find so many people say, but this gets in the way, that gets in the way. Always something, something. But it doesn't matter.
Well, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but here's the thing. This gets in the way, that gets in the way. But even when those things are getting in the way or causing trouble, you're still here.
That's right.
You know? I mean,
but it's so
even when all that's
going
on, you're still here. It's not as hard as it sounds. You just be gentle.
It's hard for other people because when they're saying, well, I can't see what you see, you know?
But that's not true.
I know. I know. It's just another lie.
It's the same thing they are.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. And they see it too.
But they believe they don't.
Well, but that's right. That's the problem. And
that is the problem, the lie.
That is the problem, is a lie. And the lie is solved by looking at the truth. No matter who it is, looking at the truth will do away with the lie. And,
right.
You know, that's what I do. I talk about self-inquiry and try to persuade people, trick people, you know, anything, just to get people to look at themselves.
Yeah.
Because there's because there really aren't any other people.
Instead of looking, you know, people are so busy looking at what's wasting their time. And it becomes like a cycle. Oh.
Well, it is a cycle.
It's interesting for everybody how different it is and yet how similar it is. Yeah. Well, Don, you're doing a great job, and I consider it a privilege to speak to you and hear Carla's voice. And it's wonderful to be in the world but not be in the world. And
it's wonderful to be in the world. I love you too. Where in Canada do you guys live?
What's
Janice,
that?
Janice, where in Canada do you live?
We live in Mississauga.
Which
near
side is
Toronto.
That?
That's near Toronto.
Uh-huh, near Toronto. We were looking at going to Toronto this year, but it didn't happen. But it may happen next year.
Is it from the Learning Annex?
Don't know. I've never heard of the Learning Annex. But
okay.
Okay.
They usually bring people in. That would be great if you did arrive here. That would be wonderful.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
it's good
we'll
to speak with
goes.
You.
Okay, John. Take care.
You too, Janice. Bye.
Bye.
Nigel, you want to try again?
Okay, yeah. Can you hear me now? Hello?
I hear you, Nigel.
You can hear me.
Also, your speakers.
I haven't got any speakers, so...
I don't know what it is then.
One, two, okay.
Okay.
Hi there. Is that better?
Let me see. But you're better than you were. Oh, now you're not at all. Nigel, I don't know what to say. I want so badly to speak with you. Well, I guess wanting is not enough. Not sure. Huh?
One, two, one, two. Hello?
I hear you.
Is that better?
It's a little better, yeah. No, let's talk.
Okay, let's go. I have an illness that causes me an awful lot of pain. And to be taking some sort of, painkiller constantly would be just a waste of time, you know. It's like... So it's what I was getting at. In answer to what Mauricio was saying, I think pain can actually be a great advantage if you do look at it.
Oh, I agree with you. Here's what I say about pain. First of all, if you can do away with the pain, then there is no reason to go any further. You just do away with the pain. If you cannot do away with the pain, then pain can be one of the most magnificent teachers in the universe. It is...
Well, that's exactly what my experience.
Right. Yes, right.
It,
I agree with you.
I mean, it puts you in a corner where, really, what are you going to do, you know? You've got no choice there. You really... And I've really noticed that there's an incredible resistance to want to face pain, you know, an automatic resistance, but it will go, and you can observe it, and it makes no difference, you know, and it is, as you said, it really is a magnificent teacher. It really pushes you, along when, you know, you really wouldn't bother.
Yes, right, I can see that, and it is true that there is an inherent inclination in the body mind to resist pain above all things else, to not see it, to not experience it, to distance oneself from it, to get rid of it, and so forth. And this is certainly true. Even the Buddha said pain is inherently unpleasant. But it is huge when you find yourself able to actually just look directly in the face of pain and experience everything that it is directly, without mediation and without resistance. This is a great lesson in what's unreal. It's also possible, since when huge pain is present, you are hugely present also. So in that way, pain points in a way directly at you, at the experiencer of the pain.
Yes, okay. It does. It's true. It's very, very true. Yes, it's very true.
So
it makes you very, very aware of body, you know, of being.
Right. So
it's much easier when it's. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I interrupted you. Go ahead. It's much easier.
It seems that there's a much stronger motivation to practice when I'm suffering than when I'm feeling good. I mean, when I'm feeling good, there's actually very little motivation sometimes, you know. It's like, why bother? I'm having fun, you know. And when you're not, then really, you know, it's the only way out. So it has incredible power and beauty, you know.
Yes, I do, but you know, really the truth of the matter is that that's true for everybody. If you are not suffering, there's no motivation to seek an end to suffering. And whether that suffering is physical pain, or psychological pain, or spiritual pain, or any other kind of misery that we manage to afflict ourselves with, the suffering itself is the being end, being finished with the denial of suffering is the great leap of maturity that's required in order for one to be able to actually seek the truth. There has to be some motivation for one to be able to seek the truth. And it is the consciousness of suffering that is that motivation.
Yeah, it is, without a doubt. I mean, there would be no path without suffering. I mean, it's curious. I mean, Buddhism was based on, you know, the Four Noble Truths. It's a great path. Anyway, I'll love and leave you. It's great talking to you again. And thanks very much for this world satsang. It's brilliant.
I love it. Thank you, Nigel.
Thanks, John. I'll be here again next time. Ciao.
Okay, I think we're done. Unless somebody really, really needs to speak. I am so happy with this medium. I am so happy with this opportunity for us to meet together without regard to where physically we are located. It is really true that self-inquiry is, well, I'm just really glad that we get to meet like this. And you know, I have to say also that the business about suffering being the necessary goad to seek the truth is true enough, but if you're not suffering, enjoy your life. Don't worry about it. Enjoy your life. If things are not satisfactory, if there's a sense of dissatisfaction, then find out what you are. There's nothing else you can do, really. All the rest is play. Thank you so much for this time in Satsang. Thank you for your attention and your generosity and your open-heartedness. Carla has something to say, but I'll be leaving. Om Shanti. May all being know ourselves.